There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Friday. Beautiful out there. We'll get more from staff meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams talking about how, well, tomorrow won't be so grand, but we'll enjoy today for what it is. Also, I was thinking about this as the show intro was playing. You know, it's just like if you, I basically have had the same clothing choices since I was in eighth grade, and it comes and goes, back in fashion, out of fashion, back in fashion. Just my... My lack of changing the show intro, lack of changing Hillary Clinton out of the show intro. You know, for a while there, it's like, hey, why is that in there? As time's moved on, this is that election cycle's over. But maybe my procrastination, Jeff, on leaving Hillary in the intro of Midday Mobile is coming back, as she is the hot topic for who could be primarying President Biden.
I mean, everybody wants to be like that. They, as long as she's got a pulse, as long as she's alive, she's going to run. I just don't think you're going to have enough oomph there, particularly do you have some bitterness from 2016. She is the one that lost to Donald Trump. She's always going to want to be president. Will there be the vendors? Will there be the consultants? Will there be the right people willing to do this, not just looking for their next bread take? I don't see it. I can't believe it.
Well, I'm hoping it's true so I don't have to go take. Now I can say I can keep Hillary in the show open.
There's got to be a way to make her relevant without her running for president.
Hey, Secretary of State again. How about that? Have that work out. All right, so that's just on my list as we get started. Also, if you heard the news there, the bearded dragon danger, you can get Salmonella Uganda, not only Salmonella, Salmonella Uganda from it. Now, usually we're talking about eating things, getting Salmonella. I don't know how many people. Dalton, do y'all still have the beard? Dalton and his lovely wife, before they had human being children, they had a reptile, a bearded dragon there. That, do you still have, Dalton, do you still have, what's the update here on the bearded dragon?
Bearded dragon Prince Philip passed away last summer.
He did. So safe for your children now that dirty salmonella-ridden reptiles out of your home.
We are not worried about the Uganda.
Okay, that's correct. Just checking, because I heard that news update, and my first thought is, oh my gosh.
But if you're
licking the lizard there, you know.
Yeah, I was personally not a fan.
Right.
But it's okay, you know, I dealt with it. It's new pet update.
Yeah.
Have a beta fish now.
And we just had one die this week.
Oh.
But we're down to one.
Condolences.
Yeah, did you get, what color?
Pretty red one, a little too close to crimson for my liking. But original name, the daughter went with Nemo.
Oh, not beneficial. Ours was Gary Finice, and he just died Monday. So
sorry, Gary Finice.
Yeah, Gary Finice. He just died on Monday.
But yes, no longer a bearded dragon family.
All right, good. I was worried about you, man. Thank you for the update on that. Yes.
Well, I was hearing womp 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 back just background noise just a minute ago. Well, what about a Biden Clinton ticket?
So,
what if she were the VP?
It wouldn't be possible. It would have to be a Clinton-Biden ticket. He would have to step down and run as VP, and she would be president. Well, she's not gonna supine herself.
Well, you're sitting there, you're Clinton, and you're thinking, he ain't got much time left on this earth.
Right.
Like he's sunsetting.
Yeah, sunsetting, nice.
You can't win the presidency because you lost to Donald Trump. No one.
Right.
What if she were the VP?
Do you bring together, how How much overlay do you have in Biden support and Clinton support? Are you just duplicating?
Well, no. I think it's more of a matter of competency. Clearly, Kamala Harris is incompetent. She was just a feel good box checking exercise on the ticket.
Yeah.
There's you listen to her responses, you look at what she's done, in a job that's largely ceremonial, she has been a disappointment as a vice president, which is very difficult to do.
That's right.
But I think you could sell it this way. Well, here's somebody that knows what the heck's going on. she understands whatever you liked her or not. She's competent, and you could sell that to Democrat voters. They're crazy, and they're easily duped. And I think you could make that case, and maybe that bolsters a Biden effort more than a repeat of Kamala Harris.
On the flip side, you know, we would say Hillary Clinton is good for Republicans because it'll mobilize the base. I would argue that I don't know that the base needs any more mobilized than President Biden.
But dispirited. I think they're dispirited right now. They're not going to get there. Their legacy building moment here, that this is a squandered opportunity by an overreach of the Democratic Party.
Yeah, and you get more of that with Hillary. Do I think a Biden Clinton ticket is stronger than a Biden Harris ticket? Yeah, I do. But it also, I think, I don't know if it doubles up the Republican response and turnout, because I think the response and turnout, you know, come presidential cycle will be so strong from Republicans against Biden. I don't know that the Clinton factor even ramps that up. So I don't know. Interesting. All right. So it's Biden Clinton versus, is it Trump DeSantis? It seems to be.
It's
some
not
issue.
Trump Pence.
It seems like the Trump DeSantis thing is breaking apart a little bit here on the gutless.
I think Trump gnome.
Yeah, Trump gnome.
Because the knock on Trump is, I think it's kind of silly, but the suburban women are but
yeah, but gnome's not suburban.
She is a woman.
I understand.
She gets half of that.
She's cool because she ranches. So it's okay. So we have Biden, Clinton, Trump, gnome.
I think Nikki Haley's got too many negatives.
Yeah.
Look around the landscape of potential female running mates.
But we're now already to the general. Do you believe that Trump wins through the primary?
Oh, easily. No, Trump could run with Rocky
Gilbert
and
Godfrey.
Bullwinkle, or yeah, it doesn't matter. He's okay. The nominee if he runs.
Okay, all right. So I think Trump wins that one.
Yeah, well, I think he's got to have a woman. And you look at female Republicans right now. Who do you like? And this is that seems to be the logical choice.
Yeah, but here's the problem. Gnome is popular because she hadn't had as many eyes on her. She did have a little hubbub there on the transgender votes and things in her state. But, you know, you have these candidates, if you play the kind of the fantasy politics thing and say, oh, these would be great. But they haven't had the spotlight on them. I'm not saying that it would even matter. Gnome may come out of that just as
strong
as before. But you know, when the machine starts eating on people.
She's different in this regard, though. She's not like Palin, where she just showed up one day, it seemed like. I'd seen Palin on CNBC at the time a few times.
Right.
But she just showed up. Next thing you know, she's the John McCain's running mate. She's been on Fox News a lot. She was she worked her way up through the House of Representatives before she ran for governor.
I think she's cool. I'm not trying to be against her.
I don't know. You're not bringing a swing state along necessarily by that choice.
No.
But neither. I mean, was Indiana necessarily that too with Pence? Some people said it was, but it turned out not to be even close. So I think you're looking at the Republicans doing some box checking themselves there.
Don't you go to Texas? I got to figure out the candidate, but if you're going to box check, you still can look at a purple state and try to do yourself
purple
some good.
Purple state, I mean, like, okay, well, what are the purple states that did one Trump in 16? It was Michigan, it was Pennsylvania, it was Wisconsin. What's left in Wisconsin? What's left in Michigan? What's left in Pennsylvania? There's not nothing that really pops out in my head.
What about this, though? What if you had Pence run again with Trump, but just declare that he's a woman to go with the transgender? He could then identify Mike Pence could then identify as a woman, and then you would have that box checked. Yeah, double, two boxes checked.
I don't see that. I don't see that box checking exercise happening.
All right, just some theoreticals. I do. It is interesting, and do I think? I'll say this. Yes, absolutely. Stronger for the Democrats to have Clinton on with Biden than have Harris. I mean, I agree with you 100%.
Harris is a empty suit. I mean, she is just a total letdown.
She's not a. Here's the thing. It's not a zero. I was watching some of the video from earlier this week. Everybody's been talking about it, watching it this morning. It's not a zero. She's a -5, -6. You know what I'm saying? It's not just that she doesn't add to the campaign.
She takes away from the campaign. She just has a quality to her that doesn't. On paper, she fits. But then when you see what you're getting and you're like, no.
Yeah, they should have kept her in the basement for sure. Just the way we say that President Biden makes Jimmy Carter, former President Carter, look better in history, Dan Quayle is thanking Kamala Harris in a big way. All right. I held you over because I wanted to talk a couple things with you. Nationally, this filibuster question here. So a filibuster, you know, this gets thrown around. It's a action. It's prolonging speech. Sometimes it's comical in the way it's done. Sometimes it's technical. In other words, it slows things. It's a governor on, and not, I mean, like governor, like you put on an engine. It's a governor on action from the majority. Is that fair enough to say?
Okay, yes.
A filibuster, because it has a couple different heads. It shows itself, but the idea of a filibuster is to protect, to slow majority rule down in protection of individual rights.
Oh, yes.
It's a tool to do that, correct?
Minority rights.
Minority rights,
say.
Yes.
Yeah, the individual being the minority.
The most minority of any group is the individual.
Yeah, but you boil it down to its simplest or its lowest common denominator, then I guess it's the individual.
Individual. So the filibuster that's being discussed, and we can go through the easy gotcha stuff with you know, Chuck Schumer's speech being read on the floor by Cotton, you know, where just 10 years ago he was all against removing the filibuster. You have this big push from Biden. He was for the filibuster. Now President Biden's, against the filibuster here. But you pointed out some things that even more interesting are is this a kamikaze mission on Democrats' parts? Because they got to know what's coming in the midterm. They do know what's coming in the midterm. They're going to be the party out of power. But yet still, in this short term, it's worth trying to blow up the filibuster to get what they want across the finish line.
It's a gross overreach. A lot of what Democrats are trying to do right now, they're governing like they had won mandate majorities, overwhelming majorities. Look, that presidential election wasn't called for what, a week or two after November. Number one, number two, the margins in the Senate, if not for a goofy happenstance in Georgia. If Doug Collins doesn't run for the United States Senate and he stays in Congress where he should have, Kelly Loeffler is a U.S. Senator today and it's 51-49. Mm-hmm. That's number one. No, that's number two. That you have these very thin, shallow margins in both the House and the Senate. So, but Democrats seem to be taking these just throwing these wild swinging mm-hmm. punches where there's just not the appetite for it in this country. And, So I don't know why they think they have the cards to play here. They never did. They had a poor hand, and they're going all in. But why would you gamble with the filibuster when you know you got to get your butt kicked in November and give the Republicans the filibuster? Because even if you do away with the filibuster and you put this voting bill on the table, there's no guarantee that you're going to get 50-plus – you're going to get mm-hmm. the 50-plus-1 with the vice president pushing this across, that you still got to get Manchin and Sinema. They could vote on this voting stuff, and they could do away with the filibuster on this particular thing. But why would you give that tool to Republicans?
Why would you give the tool? And just in the short term, like you said, these aren't incremental moves that Democrats might pass. You're going to get rid of the filibuster to try to go after legislation that's probably still not going to stick.
Right.
Why do you do it? You hold on.
Okay. One more, yeah.
Coming right back. More with Jeff right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Peel out some of the Bearded Dragon text here and get to a few others as we roll on Midday Mobile on this Friday. Alan says, now this is Alan, this is not me, he said Biden-Clinton administration would equal Biden suicide the day after the inauguration.
Vince Foster.
Yes. Chris in Orange Beach, Trump and Herschel Walker. I'll save that for another day. I think I have not seen enough from Herschel Walker that makes me think he's good, other than name brand. But he's got some baggage, man. I don't dislike Herschel Walker, but I mean, if I'm looking for a running mate, yeah, I don't think so.
No, he is. He will win that race, and he will vote like he is told.
Yeah, but I mean, it's just. If you're looking for a running mate, though, for a, like,
no, you're not.
I mean, I don't think, and that's not anti Herschel Walker. He's an amazing career, but it's just it's a whole bunch of other things. Don says, "How about Trump and Governor Ivey?" LOL. Yeah, that's not happening. Terry, just like you were saying, Democrats are in denial. They think they want a national mandate, and that's kind of what you're boiling down to on it.
Yeah, it's just a gross overplay of their hand. You start talking about carving up the filibuster. You're gonna make it more. You gotta give Republicans license to do that.
Yeah, and where do you? You made a good point or statement. We're talking about off the air that the founders. What did they want with this? And maybe it's not being used in the image of what the founders wanted.
No, well, I don't think, you know, the founders obviously didn't contemplate a filibuster. It's not necessarily something that has origins, but
this is a Senate-created rule.
Right.
It's not constitutional, you know.
It's constitutional in the sense that the Senate gets to make its own rules.
Yeah,
but it's not something they said, hey, you got to have a 60-vote supermajority to get bills passed. That was never the intention. Or have whatever it is, 50% plus one, plus 10 or whatever, to get a bill passed. But I'll say this, though. It is a stabilizing mechanism. Because look at our politics right now.
Yep.
And look, Republicans and Democrats are so far apart. The bases of those parties govern. The bases of the party determine who is going to be on the ticket for Republicans and Democrats. It's not that the public is that far apart, but I think it's just the people that show up for primaries are your more activist wing of your party, and they're picking the candidates.
Think it is. That is true.
You're the ones. They're the ones that are putting the candidates on the ballot, and they're giving your option A or option B, and you're getting two very distinct points of view. Mm-hmm. Well, right now the country divided as it is, you would just have, without the filibuster, it would just swing wildly back and forth our politics. And do we need that kind of destabilization of our politics in this country, as fragile as things seem, that without the filibuster? And look, I'm not touting it because it's got any kind of constitutional roots. It does not. But it is a stabilizing mechanism that kind of keeps the trail off the tracks and keeps us from going in the ditch.
Yeah, and it would look a lot more like the Congress would look a lot more like executive orders do now, and that's where some of that energy has gone to, that really partisan, you know, it's President Trump, then President Trump came in and took out executive orders existing and put in new executive orders, and then President Biden day one, you know, rescinds all these. I mean, that's the kind of wild swings. You see that now in executive orders, but you don't see that coming out of the Congress. And that's I think it's a good thing.
And then that's the way it's intended. Like, let the top of the ticket, let the president, let the commander in chief, let that kind of dictate the flow, but let's have a set of laws, let's have a U.S. code, let's have the laws be what they are because they are given and they're in statute, and that way you could interpret or whatever and let the courts decide that, but at least there's a mechanism to check. If you start downplaying the filibuster, I'm telling you that the elections always go this way. One side will win, the other side's going to have their chance, and that's the way this goes. It's always gone like that throughout our history. I know some of you thinking after, well, I mean, maybe it's creeped into some dark places with the growth of government and the expansion of the state here. But as far as just party politics and a two-party system, that filibuster is kind of what's saving the day, no matter if you're a Democrat or you're a Republican, because Republicans very well could be in the same spot where they have a once-in-a-lifetime politician like an Obama who has coattails, brings along a bunch of Republican members of Congress, and there you have it. We can, I guess we can institute the John Birch Society or something. But the filibuster keeps that from happening.
Yep, and so there you go. Good. Thank you. Thank you for that discussion, because I thought it was, I mean, it's been thrown around so much, you know, it's being talked about today, but what does it really mean? That's I enjoyed that. Coming back here in a little bit, I know that Tim James is doing an event today in Mobile.
He's right? He's in Satsuma today at one of the factories up there, but media availability, doing it, I guess, right now as we speak.
And you were you talked to him earlier in the week. I'm going to play the ad you mentioned this morning. I want to play that ad when we come back from the break, y'all. But play this, and then I'm going to ask some questions. Now, this is, obviously, I am on the don't speak to list for Governor Ivey, but truth is truth. I'm going to roll through the ad that Tim James is airing and ask if those are issues that Kay Ivey, the incumbent in that position, embodies. I mean, if you're going to, you know, you're asking for the job, so you're, you know, going to go on the attack or what he, I know he's not, you're going to go on the offensive against the person who has a job. I want to roll through that ad and y'all listen to these claims and see if Governor Ivey represents any of these.
I don't think that's what it's getting at, but I think it's trying to.
Then how is she not a vessel for those same ideas?
That's not relevant to the discussion. He's running against Washington. He's not running.
I know that. I'm going to point that out.
I think he's got to hit Ivy, and I am underwhelmed by his, just as you were on his response to some of these bridge questions. Yeah. Anyway, enough of me. I've heard enough of Jeff Poore today for one individual day.
Man, we got to get more of you coming up on Monday. Have a great weekend.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, coming to your text and phone calls in just a minute or two at 343-0106. Right now, I want you all to say hi to my buddy David McCrary, LCM Motor Cars, and let's talk about the inventory. You've been talking this week about truck inventory, car inventory. How's it looking going into this weekend?
Everything's good, Sean. We've had a really good week buying this week. But let's talk about something we haven't talked about. I've got a 2015 Toyota Sienna van. It's got the power doors on both sides. They're not that common anymore around here, under $20,000. And this one is a nice vehicle that you can buy well under $20,000. We've also got a really cool car, one of those Subaru Imprezas. That's the WTX, the real fast little jokers.
Mm-hmm.
For those guys that like to go fast and hide the car in the garage, your wife can't see, this is the car. But we've got a lot of other stuff, too, so you just need to come out and see us.
All right. Tell folks how to do that. Give them directions.
We're at Highway 90 and Plantation, just south of I-10. We are on the website, lcmmotorcars.com. Give us a call, 251-375-0068.
Thank you, David. We'll talk soon.
Have a good weekend.
You too. David McCrary checking in from LCM Motor Cars. All right. Text line. And then we got more to get in here. Chris Francis suggesting Candace Owens as the running mate. After their dust up there on the virus thing. And I'm going to get to that in a second, too, actually. Yeah, it's, Terry's saying the same thing. Candace Owens. Yeah. Sean, now we're talking asymmetric. This is interesting. So Sean says Trump should run as a Democrat. That would make their heads explode and primary Biden. Well, I mean, the guy was a Democrat for a long time, wasn't he? Unnamed texter, I hope the Democrats ruin this country so bad that they can't get a vote even if they pay for it in the next 100 years. A Democrat is the scum of the earth, and we need to get rid of them about like child molesters. Really? Finished reading this about child molesters, and for some reason none of these Democrats are holding their head up high right now, no more than they and Biden can take this little shot and shove it, apparently. The idea when you blanket all people is, it's the same flip side when, you know, liberals say all of them are Nazis, those Republicans. I mean I read what you say, you got your opinion, I disagree. Do I believe that the left is pulling the moderate Democrats along? I do. And do I think it's the chickens are coming home to roost? I do. And we're going to see that in the midterms. doesn't have Meta, says Governor Meemaw. He said it does not like you because you hang out with Papio Ziegler and the Soggy Bottom Boys. Well, I don't really hang out with anybody, but however I got put into that box, that's the thing. Hey, I want to talk about this on the booster thing. So a couple stories have been out about it. This one comes from New York Daily News. It's repackaged by AL.com. David Goldner put it out, said former President Donald Trump is taking a dig at politicians like Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, who refused to say if they got the COVID-19 vaccine booster shot. Calling those who evade the booster question gutless, Trump suggested that they are trying to avoid offending anti-vaxxer supporters, even though they know the booster shot saves lives. Trump said they don't want to say it because they're gutless. You got to say it, whether you had it or not, say it. End quote. Trump did not name DeSantis in the interview, but there is little doubt that he was referring to the rising GOP star who awkwardly dodged questions about whether he had received the COVID-19 vaccine booster in a recent interview. DeSantis instead said he had, quote, done whatever I did, the normal shot, end quote, in an interview with Maria Bartiromo on Fox Business. All right. Then he asserted that people should not be pressured to disclose their vaccination status, a common refrain amongst conservatives and anti-vaxxers. The stance didn't cut it with Trump. Trump said, I watched a couple politicians be interviewed, and one of the questions was, did you get the booster? Because they got the vaccine. He said, they're like, oh, and they're oh, he said in a dismissive smirk. And the answer is yes. So it is interesting. I've said this before. It's very similar, I think, with right now the President Biden, the administration wants schools open, right? But all the deference they gave to schools being closed, now schools are not opening up or closing down, and it contrary to what's coming out of the White House. But it's something they created themselves. And the same thing is strange in the Trump world, although it doesn't exactly line up the same way, that this idea, this question about to get vaccinated or not. I mean, former President Trump was early on getting the vaccine, got the booster, has talked about, has gotten booed for it. And he's going to use that, to push back against DeSantis or whoever who might challenge him on this. But it's like, it's something that was created. It's strange because in the lockstep dedication to former President Trump that I hear from folks, like, you rarely, there's people like, you know, out there, I'm probably one of them, will say, you know, these things I like Trump did, there were some things he did I didn't like. But there's very few people who will say, well, there were anything that they didn't like. I said it through 4 years. I said, man, he's doing all kind of great stuff. These are a couple things that I wasn't crazy about. And what's happened here, though, is this idea that people are lockstep in support of Trump, except on this vaccine thing. This idea that was painted, and it's odd because mainstream media and the liberals tried to paint following Trump equaling anti-vax. Remember? I mean, they've said it through all these stats and they're like, how many people have been vaccinated that are Trump supporters? But how do you reference that when Trump has been patting himself on the back for Operation Warp Speed, early adopter of a vaccine and boosters? I mean, they don't line up. And if you think his political acumen is strong, which, you know, the showed when he ran, former President Trump, then you might say that for DeSantis and others, just admitting you got the vaccine or booster is a good thing. I think it's always a good thing to admit truth, right? I don't know. I think you put yourself, I think DeSantis is doing what I see so many politicians do, to get in this kind of game where you're setting yourself up for trouble down the road. Just say the truth. If you got the booster, yeah, get the booster. I get that question. I guess that's a good one, too, on the text line. Whether somebody got the booster or not, because I don't know why DeSantis wouldn't say it, because Trump has said he got the booster. And then if DeSantis gets the booster, then they're even in that. Then you move on. Would you vote if think about this just critically for a second. If DeSantis came out and said, I didn't get the booster, I did not get it. And former President Trump said, I did get the booster. And you had to vote for, would that make a hill of beans in your decision on who to vote for? I mean, you would think you go to events when, you know, you hear former President Trump say he got the booster and gets boos. Maybe you're like, oh, yeah, I need to chase those votes. Really? How many votes are there? I mean, really, if you do you make a decision? If you're a conservative voter, would you make a decision on who you voted for on the Republican primary ticket, whether they had the booster or not? Please tell me. 343-0106. I find that interesting. Would you make a decision? Like, okay, well, you got these two candidates. You got a boosted candidate and a not boosted candidate. Does that make a hill of beans decision in your decision? By the way, side note, too, on Omicron, I put this list. I now know, 1, 2, 3, 4, it's 6 people I know that I know of that have Omicron. You know, the word out is everybody's going to get Omicron. I mean, that's coming even from Fauci and what's her name with the CDC, Walensky, with CDC. Everybody's going to get the Omicron. How many people do you know? I know 6 now, and it's going up daily. Anybody can beat that? Can you beat 6 on the text line? Do you know of more than 6 people that have Omicron? I'll take you at your word for it. 343-0106. Hit it up on the text line. All right, I'm going to play the clip of the ad from newly announced gubernatorial candidate in Alabama, Tim James. And I do agree with the fact that these are things that will get people to the polls, but maybe in a national election. Okay, let me just roll it, and then we'll go from there. Let's go ahead and hit that.
It's time to wake up. The secular left wants to destroy our country. They want to tear it down. They think America's evil. They think America is racist. They think our founding fathers were wrong. They think there are 50 genders, and they want to teach this crap to our children. And if you disagree with these left-wing bigots, they'll cancel you, and they'll get you fired from your job. I'm Tim James. It is time to fight back.
Okay, so there's the ad, and Tim James is in town today, campaigning out there. So that bucket of red meat, we have a lot of people agreeing, shaking their heads. Yes, I agree with him. I agree with him. Are any of those things, and Lord knows I don't do work as being the political spokesperson for Governor Ivey. Remember, I'm on the out list. Doesn't talk to me. But are any of those things something that Governor Ivey does? I mean, are any of those part of the job of being governor of the state of Alabama? I mean, did you hear anything in there that just says, wow, yeah, he's got Governor Ivey dead to rights on that one? If I'm missing something? We'll get your calls when we get back. 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Weather does not look great for tomorrow, but today, I'll take it. Beautiful blue skies out there on this Friday. It's Midday Mobile. Phone number, the text line. I guess we got to say this these days. 251-343-0106. 251-343-0106. Get you through. And if you have the brand new FM Talk 106.5 app, you can even leave us a message through that as well. This segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. And it is a new year. If you made a New Year's resolution about getting organized, getting cleaned up around the house or the office, or and getting rid of the storage unit you pay on every month you don't need, whatever. You got junk, you need it gone. Need my buddy Trey with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Been doing great work for 14 years in Mobile and Baldwin counties. Could do it for you just like he's done it for me. It's real easy to make the appointment, too. You go online or get on the phone. Either go to 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com or pick up the phone and call 1-800-GOT-JUNK, and they'll work with you for a day that works for you. You'll be like, oh, I can do it on Tuesday. Then they find a window of time that works for you. So not this spectrum, you know, where people will show up sometime during the week. No, they make an appointment because they know you got work and family and your life and all that. So then they show up when you say, and they make the appointment, they show up, and then you kind of let them follow you around to say, I want this gone and this other thing gone and all that stuff gone and some of that stuff, whatever it is. And they come back and they give you a price. If you say yes, they get to work right then, get it done, get it gone, and it makes it a lot easier to get organized around the house in 2022 when you got fewer things. So check them out online, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, or just pick up the phone and call them at 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Paul in Mobile says, Sean, when discussing changing views about the filibuster, don't forget about what McConnell did to carve out exceptions for Supreme Court justices, or what Harry Reid did for presidential nominees, much less what Congress just did to move along the debt ceiling. So those who are framing the exception are just following precedent, regardless for election reform or otherwise. Yes, and I have, Paul, I can't speak for anybody else but me. But I push back against every time we've weakened the filibuster because I like having the slowed mechanism in there. I think it's a good thing. All right. Now, some people have a lot of people. I just mentioned I knew now six people that have Omicron. We do this is not scientific, just asking. Let's see. Tony said, just got over COVID. It was not that bad, but bad enough to make me consider the shot. I'd hate to get sicker next time. Listen, I'm just going off. Here's the problem. Here's the clash. So the information tells us that Omicron is not nearly is virulent, right? It's not. It doesn't make you as sick as Delta, or original recipe, the Alpha, whatever. That's been the same. But I have heard from a lot of people who are quite sick. Quite sick. I'm hearing like different versions of this, but I know six people. Tony himself. Let's see. Chris just got over it. How about this? Backtrap Stacker. I know of at least 40 people who've had Omicron, all vaxxed. Yeah, well, and that was my pragmatic argument against, what was being decided and then was decided by the Supreme Court yesterday, that let's just take out the politics for a second and say that President Biden wanted to make his move, executive action through OSHA for public safety, right? So people that were at a job didn't get sick working alongside somebody who brought, but now that we know that Omicron gets people that are vaccinated and boosted and not boosted and all that stuff, it really doesn't matter, right? I mean, pragmatically, it really doesn't matter. So if for some reason the Supreme Court hadn't decided the way they did, the secondary argument would have been this is beyond arbitrary and capricious because it doesn't matter. Michael says, I've had six with Omicron in the house a few weeks ago, the kids, the sitter, the in-laws, and too many coworkers, friends, and kids' classmates to count. So a bunch of folks. Mr. Renfro says, I think Tim James is spot on. I do not think that Governor Ivey is proactive in working against those things that the left keeps pushing. She can't just be sort of against it. She needs to be full out against it. Otherwise, I'm stoned for Tim James. I hear what you're saying, Mr. Renfro, but I disagree. I think if you want to run against the incumbent governor in Alabama, you need to be looking at things like questions about the I-10 Mobile River Bridge or the gas tax, or what was done with business shutdowns or openings and those kind of things, because the far left progressive movement is not Kay Ivey. Now you're saying you want her to be against it more. How much time does she spend saying, and this is the crazy thing, because Lord knows I'm not the biggest cheerleader for Governor Ivey, but I mean, her job is to run the state, not to have a press conference every day about what AOC said. All right, Matt says, spot on, Sean. None of their crap applies directly to Governor Ivey. If you want to hit her up, go straight at her on issues that affect Alabamians, things like mental health care crisis, the bridge fiasco, gambling, bill stalling, and so on. I could call in, but I talk too long. They need to go straight at her for issues that affect Alabamians and not be scared of attacking her. Governor Meemaw status that is protecting her. Y'all with the Meemaw stuff. Fred is now the top one. Fred says he knows 41 people with Omicron. He is our winner right now. Chris says, does the booster make you as sick as a second shot did? Would love to hear some info on that. I have no idea, Chris. Somebody might. We can get anecdotes. People can text in with that, but I don't know. But that's a tough one, right? You have to go interview like everybody. Brandon says, I'm vaccinated and I had COVID over Christmas and had very little symptoms. My mom is unvaccinated and has it now and she's sick as hell. So once again, anecdotal, but I mean, I'm hearing in the people that I know, not all of them, some of them, it was like nothing, but I talked to somebody who had original recipe, I think, and then had Omicron and said, Omicron was pretty darn bad. Maybe not as bad as original recipe, but pretty bad. IT Jesus says, I currently know of over 40, but I work for several big box stores. They are desperate for help. Most have little or no symptoms. Okay, well, here's the other rub on this. And this is a tough one because it goes contrary to business rights. But what if you're in a situation where because Omicron doesn't make you that sick, this is why I think it spreads faster too. and I understand the upper lungs versus the science of it, but just the human being part of it, if it doesn't make you that sick, and if businesses have run through their like leave time and you're going to have to take sick days or vacation or whatever, right? Isn't that a disincentive to report that you have it? I mean, there's going to be part of it, somebody's going to say, well, I got it, but they don't know, and I'm not that sick. I can work through this because I want to have time to take off to go hunting or go to Disney World with the kids or whatever it is. Isn't that a place to look at, you know, how we do public policy, that if you have to burn your sick time or something like that, you know, or your vacation time to be out, isn't that an incentive to not tell the truth? Paul says, I don't think I can get COVID. I have some instances of family members being exposed and none of us have gotten it. Many of us are O positive blood. That's a whole nother world, Paul, the blood part of it I don't know. Marty said someone needs to remind Tim James that he is not running for president. Now, and Marty, I agree with you. Now, what is true is that we'll get votes for Tim James. It's not a bad, but does it have a ceiling? Does it have a 28% ceiling in this state for the other people go, yeah, but let's talk more about Alabama issues. But Marty, I agree with you. Lisa said, I had just talked about it at Christmas. I would not get the booster. Ended up being positive 3 days later. It was no big deal. All I had was a stuffy nose for a week. And then somebody else says I'm sicker than I ever was. Like I said, it's different for different folks. It sounds like it's kind of everywhere. Maybe we get, you know, through this peak quickly, because the next question is going to be, of course, Mardi Gras. You know, they're going to be talking about Mardi Gras if they haven't already and saying, you know, do we have Mardi Gras activities with this Omicron surge? Maybe we're over the hump on this. Moz says the people that say they have Omicron probably don't know. Only a percentage of the tests are sent to be tested for variants. That is correct, Moz. Yes, they're making assumptions, and you know what assuming does. I assume y'all know Dale Leash from Lanyap, lanyapmobile.com. He'll join me next. Municipal redistricting, that's been one of the discussions this week. What does it mean for Mobile? We'll talk about it next.